So I want to thank God for being here today.
Yeah.
What a sane place.
Amen.
When chaos is all over the world.
Oh, yes.
But God has given us a sanctuary, a place to come and not have to worry about anything. You know, at home, it's comfortable and everything, but you always got something to do.
Right.
Here, you just have this time right here just to concentrate on the word and be free.
That's
and
right.
I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
And I also want to thank God for His word.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, His word makes the difference.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking this week about how God, the free fall.
Yeah.
Just trust in Him.
Right.
Right.
What
right.
is it
trust
that
him.
We so believe God can't take care of?
Right.
You Let know, and it. I was no, so thinking so that every time I He's think of something it. God can't take care of, it's temporal.
Yeah.
Because I
right.
believe the word,
right.
and that's
right.
eternal.
Right.
So I'm right. like, so I'm not believing God on temporal things?
Yeah.
That don't even make sense.
No.
When
right.
He created the
right.
world, you know,
yeah.
we're thinking, we're you yeah. know, like, oh, the healing, oh, the marriage, oh, the money, those are temporal.
Right.
You won't even have a marriage on that side. He
right.
is the ultimate husband.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I won't even have money problems.
No.
I
right.
won't have kid problems.
Right.
So all these things that we're stumbling, thinking God's having a problem with, it's temporal.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I was like, it'll change pass. The thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What's really important, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
And I stand on.
Amen.
So I was just so thankful. And something else Pastor Moore said as I was thinking about this week, when you were talking about the free fall, how children just believe their parents have them.
That's right.
They have no shadow of a doubt that you will take care of them.
Right.
Right, right.
And that's a man. That can change his mind.
Right.
You know, and not show up. But God is so much, He can't change His mind.
No.
That's right.
So what's so much more faith that we have and also trust.
Right.
That trust that God has it. And I was thinking about Pastor Moore when he would say the little kids would just jump. They would just jump and know the parents got them. But the key to this is, and this was such beautiful to me, is wonder if you already knew that that kid was going to jump there.
Right.
Because God's all knowing. He's already took care of it.
He knows what
because
he
already knew that what was going to happen. So he's already provided.
Yeah.
So if I looked at my child, yes, and they grade jump, but I already knew they were going to jump, and I stand right there where they're going to jump.
Right.
That's how God does it. He's already provided because he already knew what you were going to do. You're not running that, oh, I made this decision. It doesn't matter. He already provided for the decision that you were going to make before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
So what a rest. I have a rest that surpassed all understanding.
Right.
I am not roofed, rocked on any of this stuff.
Mm-mm.
It's all temporal.
Yeah.
And the true thing that I have my rest in is his word.
Amen.
That will never fail.
No.
He said heaven and earth will fail, but my word won't.
Yeah.
So what am I putting my foundation on?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing temporal, nothing down here.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it so much that we believe God can't do? What is it? I don't understand. He does it. He created the world.
Right.
He created you. He created Satan. Who has more authority? And I just have a peace that God's got it. He's seen it. He's provided.
Amen.
You know, it shouldn't be a bad day.
No.
I shouldn't have anxiety. I shouldn't have stress. I shouldn't have worry because my faith is in God.
Right, yeah.
And that word is not on any circumstances. Brother Chills used to tell me all the time.
Amen.
He said, Sister Michelle, don't worry about situations and don't worry about people because they change every day.
Right.
And I thought, it took me a minute to get it because I was like, oh, this happened. He's like, mm-mm. Those circumstances take care of themselves.
That's right.
You just stay with the word.
Right.
And I just want to thank God so much
Amen.
For this place, for this understanding, for this balance in my life that surpassed all understanding.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless, Sister King.
What a testimony that was. Such a great testimony. And I can say amen to everything she said.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Thanks, sister.
I just want to thank the Lord for being here.
Amen.
Knowing I've got a place to go to, which here, but the seats are empty, you know. But I am glad the ones that are here, we're here every time the doors open. Or I can't stand it if I ain't here. I'm not even happy if I miss it. And I've missed a couple of times here lately. I went to Kentucky to visit my sister. She's not doing good at all. She's got a spot on her lung. She's lost a lot of weight. It worries me, but I know God can take care of her.
There you go.
Amen.
Right.
And I'm asking the church to remember her.
Yeah.
Because it don't look good, but it's okay. God's got it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I know this word. But you know what? I know enough. I used to get in the books, and we had sisters here. That was a thing you did. You got, you know, get in to read them books, read this book. And I was so confused on some things. I went to Brother Earl, and I said, told him what it was. He said, lay the books down.
That's right.
And, you know, I thought, lay the books down.
Amen.
Well, I did, because I tried to do everything Brother Earl told
Amen.
Me to do.
Right. Good
because
advice.
He was my pastor at
right.
that time. That's just like Brother Nate. I try to do and would do anything he wants me to do, because I highly respect my pastor
Amen.
And his
Amen.
Little wife. And I'm just so thankful to be here. I just Amen. Kept sitting, and I don't like to sit on God.
No.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Sister Kirsten.
I am so grateful and thankful to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I believe this word. I thank the Lord for just allowing me to get up this morning.
Yeah.
I was telling someone, one of my sisters, and she said, well, how was your day? I said, you know, I'm blessed.
Amen.
I was able to get up, open up my eyes.
Right.
Those things at one time I may have taken for granted. But you know what? God dwells in me.
Amen.
Him and I are one.
Right.
He loves me, and I love him. Now, I may not live to all the things, but if I keep looking forward,
amen,
believing in the word,
right,
I cannot go wrong.
That's right.
But this is something that was on my heart, and I want to share. It is for all of us, but it most importantly is for my young persons. It says, trust in the Lord and do good.
Amen.
Dwell in the land and enjoy the safe pastures that he has provided.
Amen.
Delight yourself,
amen,
in the Lord, and he will give you the desires,
amen,
of your heart.
Right.
Children,
amen,
please continue to obey your parents and love the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless
you. So tell me, why should I feel discouraged? Why should my countenance fall? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my comfort, my constant friend?
Announcements I got to get here.
Amen.
Good to be here tonight.
Amen. Yes.
It is good to be in church. You talk about a balance in the mind. You know what me and my mom was talking, and we was talking about different ones and different this and different that, all these issues and stuff. And I had to say, Mom, it's because of church we got this balance.
Oh, yes.
You know, we all grew up around the same people, went to the same schools, did the same life, going to the same places they all go. But the only difference is that this word has been keeping us grounded.
Hallelujah.
So sometimes it's even hard for us to look out there because they don't have common sense.
Right.
But you've been getting preached common sense every time you come into church. Amen. Praise God for that. But let's get these announcements real quick. So September 16th, we're going to be at the Brinkman's Bonfire there. September 25th is the church picture.
Amen.
Then October, we got the Carolina trip. The sign-up is in the back, so we're going to be going to Brother Fred Mullen's church. So make sure you sign up in the back. They are serious about taking that down, so make sure you sign up. They've got a lot of details.
Just to add to that,
yes,
we have a maximum
55 people.
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
So even if you sign up, if you're 56, I'm going to draw a line right there.
Okay. I was trying to tell you guys a hint. Yes. But that's the black and white. That's just the facts. And then in November, just so we can be planning, this is Thanksgiving. We're going to be doing a Thanksgiving as a church like we did before on the 20th. So I'm looking forward to that. Brother Warren, you'll be the last one.
Amen. Brother Moore, body. Brother Moore. I just want to ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
I've been
done.
I knew I could come
that
here.
Was easy.
No.
That was easy.
But you know what?
In the past now.
I know I can come here. All I got to do, like I say, the zeal of the outreach is to say you're wrong.
Amen.
You know,
we all.
I've been wrong. Amen. It's not the first time. But, you know, I just know, I, without a shadow of a doubt, that, you know, I'd just come before the body. And,
yeah.
You know, and it would be right. Make it right and just move on.
Sure.
So that's the first order of business. The second thing is, you know, I'm proud of my wife.
Amen.
I'm so proud of her.
My.
She's come a long way.
Sure.
And, you know, the atmosphere around the home is a lot more peaceful.
Sure.
It's a lot more wonderful. And, you know, and I thank God because I really didn't know. I thought I was going to have to hold my token over her. But now she's got her own token.
She got her own.
You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, I thank God that it's the revelation has just struck her. Mm-hmm. And it's just flowing out. And, you know, there's people can see the difference. Oh, yeah. You know, I see it. I know I see it. Mm-hmm. So if no one else sees it, I see it.
All right. Well,
of course,
I
live with you, but, you know, I know. So that's beautiful. So what it does is it makes me want to press even
sanctified
harder.
Wife.
You know, because I've been the example. But now I've got somebody that can help me.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, instead of,
it's a real
you know,
match.
Yeah, you know, being dead weight, I guess, is in one sense. But, you know, it's now we can walk together, you know, in harmony.
Amen.
And I really appreciate that, Chris. Just to let you know, I really appreciate that.
Amen.
And then the third thing is I just want to thank God that I can come here to this sanctuary and just throw all my cares out and just, you know, be myself, the real me, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to have the rocks, you guys, crying out for me.
No.
You know, I can speak.
Amen.
Exactly. Speak for myself and just
Amen.
Share the goodness that God has, you know, blessed me with. Something that happened at work yesterday. I work from home. But, you know, so I don't get out much into the public, except when I go grocery shopping and stuff. But I work from home, so I have a lot of people that I speak with. And one guy caught me totally off guard yesterday, because he was having problems, technical issues, trying to access a certain system, and he's got to use the internet, of course, to get to where he's going. But he made the comment that I don't use the standard software. I use this thing called DuckDuckGo. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but he uses that to access this public domain. And he said the reason is he was concerned that the government was watching him. And it just threw me. I wasn't expecting that, so I laughed. I laughed out loud and at his expense, but it's just, you know, that mindset is out there.
Sure.
You know, and it's just got the people captured.
Yeah.
And then, so then that just made me think, you know, God, thank you. I've got sanity. I've got a place that I can come to.
Yeah.
And just be myself. Let my shield down, let my guard down, hear the word and appreciate it.
Amen.
And, you know, not everybody has that.
That's right.
And so, you know, I just thank God that I can see the word for my day. Now, the most important things, and he's getting all the glory from me. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Warren. Let's sing page 194, key of G. We Fall Down.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Getting up, Brother Covey. And then Brother Covey's going to, gotcha. Got instructions, Brother Covey. You're getting up, and you're going to take over and do what you got to do.
Amen.
I'd say a guest, but you're not a guest. You know your way around here. Page 194. Yes.
We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of his mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, and we cry. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Oh, and we cry, holy, holy.
What an exciting night, I tell you. Somebody must have preached really good Sunday morning. Kind of gets the people excited. You know, the world thinks they're excited, but they've got a false excitement. You know, we've got the real deal. We've got the real deal. You know, the sister's testimony, you know, it's amazing. You think, oh, I'm going to get up and say this or that, and then somebody says something else. You're like, nope, scratch all that. Now I'm going to say this. You know, me and my nephew Dallas, we remodeling a house. We was out working on it today, and we just got to talking about life and how life was before Christ and how life is with Christ. Amen. Then we didn't have enough time to think about what life is going to be like with Christ forever. Right. Yeah. But we're remodeling this house, and I got to thinking of here, we're a vessel, we're a house. Y'all may be seated if you like. Yeah. I have a way of saying, you know, not saying sit down, you know. It's, see, now you look more relaxed at me and more smiling. That's good. Yes. So anyway, I'm thinking this vessel that we're living in and how God found us is a mess. Something that totally needed restored and reworked. How many of you ever restored a house or a home or flipped a house? And sometimes you'll buy it and then you'll think, oh, it only needs this, 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 that. You make a list. And you get in there, and it's the money pit. It is like more than he's done. Some of us was the money pit with God. But he owned a cattle on a thousand hill. He could afford to fix us up. But the thought that I had today was just watching my nephew. He's come a long ways. And he's had a God-ordered and ordained life. Sometimes you don't think so when you're out in the mud. You're thinking, well, God, You know, should not be clean. But no, that's your time to be in the mud. But I was thinking about that house and how when we bought it, there was a man that had died, not in the house, but after he died, that house sat empty for about 2 years. And a bunch of drug addicts and crackheads got in there, and it was just a mess. You could hardly walk through it, or even you'd want to wear 3 masks, you know, to that house. But we got a hold of it, and we started bringing the dump trucks over, and we started clearing it out from the inside out, and we start cleaning it up. Now, it's not finished yet, not a finished product, but we're starting to put paint on the walls. And now that white trim is looking great, and that stomp textured ceiling is looking great. And sometimes I know God sometimes, the natural representing the spiritual, sometimes he can get a little irritated or impatient with us. And I've asked 3 or 4 people to come stomp the ceilings in that house, and I'd pay them, my money's green, and but nobody'd show up. Nobody'd show up. So I pulled out the phone, I Googled, how do you texture ceilings, you know? And sometimes God will do that. Hey, if my son ain't going to do the the job needs done. That's so right. We got the ceilings textured. They look pretty good. The paint helped it a lot, you know. So anyway, but now the house isn't totally done, and it's not, it's almost livable. And sometimes I think that's sometimes the stage of our life with God. Are we really livable yet for him to come in and live? Mm-hmm. You know, I think he would come in any time you just open the door. Amen. He may come in with your house totally filthy inside, but he'll grab a spiritual broom and he'll start cleaning you up. Amen. And but I was just thinking the day that my nephew's going to move in that house, and the day he moves in, it's going to be like brand new, you know. And the day Christ, you know, he started living in my house, he's cleaned me up a lot. He's cleaned all of us up. But I just thank God that he saw a little sign in front of me. This guy's lost. Amen. You know, pick that guy up. Amen. Pick that guy up. And I was been praying a lot for years with my couple children. You know, Lord, let them find you. Lord, let them find you. For years I prayed, God, let them find you. And last week I said, nope, I'm not going to pray that anymore. I'm going to start praying, Lord, find them. Lord, find them. You know, because they're the ones that are lost. You know, so Lord, you start finding them like you found me. And I see everyone in here, God is found. God is found. And the desire is to be here in church, whoever the sister said. It's to be in the house of the Lord. And sometimes you can't be here, but when you can, be there. And sometimes there's times I thought, man, I'll never miss that service for nothing, because I'd be wanting to go to a certain service. Something would happen, I couldn't be there. But there was somebody that needed me to cross their path. Amen. So God could witness to them through me. So and then you're like, okay, God, I get it now. It wasn't my will, but it was thy will that was done. So I ain't going to say much more, but we got Brother Mike Allen here tonight. He's family. He's got a lot of family here in this church. And he's got family with me. You know, I'm a brother in Christ. And we go way back to just, Ann Arbor, Michigan, the canoe trips and stuff like that, the youth camps, and every house I've lived in, Brother Mike's always pulled up my driveway, even when I lived where you couldn't even see my house from the road. He'd pull up in his work van, and we'd sit there and just fellowship, you know. And then going to church together quite a few years, and going to church together now together. But one of my most favorite moments, and it's probably on one of the worst days of your life, you know, but it touches you when somebody asks you for something, you know. And we were at Brother Mike's mother's funeral, and there at the end of the funeral, Brother Jerry had preached it very good, but right when Paul Bear's about ready to carry her out, and this is the last day on earth, you know, with his mom there for on earth. He come up to me and he said, Brother Eric, would you do me a favor, do me the honor of helping me carry my mother out there to the graveyard? And I said, I would love to. It'd be my honor. And we both got the front of the casket and we just carried it side by side. And I thought, wow, What a real man, you know. What a real man. So anyway, you're going to get to hear from Brother Mike tonight. It's my honor and it's your privilege to hear him tonight. If you all would stand, maybe let's sing this little song, page 198, just the chorus. And this is what I believe fully. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And with joy, we're going to welcome him. The world is going to want to welcome him, but the door is going to be shut. I would have loved to have been here Sunday morning, but I tell you, Sunday night was great. My brother kept saying, come to these Bible studies, come to these Bible studies. And so, you know, it's like chocolate. All you got to do is take one bite, and then you're coming back for more, you know. And, you know, they even got names for candy bars, like a zero candy bar. It's not a zero. You bite into that candy bar, it ain't a zero. It's got a lot in there, you know. But with joy, absolute joy, we'll welcome his return. Oh, we got Brother Alex here tonight too, and he's becoming a really good friend of mine too. I notice when somebody becomes a real good friend, they can kind of joke with you a little deeper. So boy, he's burnt my hide today. I'm like, what? Wow, we must really be family. I think his favorite word with me now is touche. You know, getting back at me. Yeah. So but it's a blessing, a friend to have. Somebody said one time, just to have one good friend in life is just a blessing. Amen. But to have two or three is just phenomenal. Amen. You know? Amen. So anyway, and I think I got a house full of friends. Any enemies of mine here tonight? Well, don't raise your hands if you are, you know? So anyway, and Brother Jerry, wow, you know? We just, yes. Yeah, he called me one time on the phone, and I was sitting in a gas station. I just pulled the car over and put it in park. I thought, we're just going to talk. And so about 45 minutes to an hour, and it was just like family. I mean, just like talking to family. How can two walk together unless they agree? That don't mean we have to agree on everything and whatever, but we agree, you know, and our spirits agree, you know. So, and if somebody else is wrong, you know, they'll be right later. Yeah, no, you always think you're the one right all the time. And until somebody else gives you a scripture, and they're like, what? I thought I was right all those years. But man, it says it right there. You know, that's one of my buddies one time. He's a Trinity preacher. And he said, you know what, Brother Rick, we agree on a whole lot of things, but there's a few things we don't agree on. And I said, well, I guess it's time you won't tell me what we don't agree on. He goes, well, okay, I'm going to tell you what we don't agree on. He said, predestination. We just don't agree on predestination. I said, really? I said, so you think that's just my belief because I just believe it somehow? I said, do you believe your Bible? He said, well, sure. And he went so far as to say, it's infallible. It's my rock. It's my foundation. It's my everything. I said, well, let's open up your Bible. Well, I don't got it with me. I said, well, I got mine over here. So I opened the Bible, Romans 8 and about 32 there, and it says, and I started reading, you know, and we know that all things work together for the good of the love of God, and whom God foreknew, that means before he knew, he, and I said, can you read that for me right there? Can you read that for me? He said, predestinated. I said, I didn't hear that. Predestinated. And I said, yeah, predestination. He knew our destination before. Amen. Right. And I said, can I ask you a question now? Do you believe in predestination? He said, yep, I sure do. He said, he saw it in the Word. Some people would be so stubborn. Well, there, that might be just a misprint. No, if it's in there, it's in there. So he said, yes, I believe in it. I said, well, good. I said, because now you've got hope. Amen. You know, you've got hope. If you were preordained,
that's right.
Man, you've got hope. Amen. So anyway, but do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. All right, let's, that course, he's coming soon. Key of F, it shows here, but whatever sounds comfortable.
He's coming.
He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. I know he's coming soon. Do you believe that?
Tonight, I'm going to go ahead and get rid of the coat. I'm going to. Thank you. Stacy's off, so I can see you. I had cataract surgery back in March, and all of a sudden I can't read. I can't see up close, and I'm not used to it yet. I'm ready for a glorified body. I'm ready for a body where I don't have to have fake lenses in my eyes to be able to read. I'm ready for a new body where I can run up and down this aisle all night long praising the Lord, shouting and screaming. That's what I'm ready for. And it's coming soon. It's coming very soon. It's good to be here tonight. Always good to fellowship with you all. Don't do it a whole lot. Haven't done it a whole lot of years, but we love you. And it's good to be here. What else can I say? It's family. I mean, I grew up coming up here. I grew up sitting amongst the pews. Remember New Year's Eve meetings, dinner, preaching. But it was good. I kind of miss those days. I haven't done that in forever. And then going to Frankfurt for Easter meetings and. I mean, we could reminisce here. We could reminisce. Yes. It's a privilege to be here, Brother Moore. Good to see you all. And tell you what, let's open a word, and then I'll let you be seated, and then I'll say what I want to say. Let me get the right verse up here. All right, we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 18. Maybe I ought to get a smaller Bible. But the Lord is good. He's been faithful through all these years. And so just watch everybody grow in the Lord and see so many familiar faces. And some reason I got nervous all of a sudden right before coming up here. But I'm going to throw that out. That's just a lying vanity. 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because, why? Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you and we praise you, Father. We thank you for this day and this time that we can gather in your name, Lord. And Lord, as I stand here tonight, Father, the chosen vessel tonight, Father, Lord, I didn't put myself here. No man put me here, but you foreordained this moment tonight, Father God. And Lord, as I step into that vision you had, Father, Lord, I ask that you come down and you'd get me out of the way, Father God. And Lord, that you would just use my voice as an oracle to speak to these people tonight what you have need for them to hear, Father God. Not what I want them to hear, not to see me, not to see each other, but Lord, to come and to hear from you and to see you, Father God. To hear from lip to ear from you, Father God. Lord, as we break open the sacred word of God, Father, tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask that you come and you would meet us. Meet every need that we have. Meet every desire that we have need of, Father God. Lord, we commit this service into your hands, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You all may be seated. We'd like to greet you from True Word Tabernacle. Brother Ray and the saints up there. And I have Brother Alex traveling down here with me tonight. And I know we had a good time when I came down with Brother Stephen Caressel about 2 months ago to the day almost. We come down and it was a very good time. And I just wanted to extend a invitation to we're having a youth camp on the 18th through the 21st. And it's up at St. Mary's. It's twtyouth.com is the website. There's no rooms available anymore or anything like that, but the services are there. They start the 18th every night. I'm not sure what time it is because it doesn't tell me here, but I want to say, do you know what time, Alex? This one doesn't say. I would have thought it would have said, but they need to change that. Anyways, it's probably around 6:30, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. If I remember correctly, I was there last year. We're come early, fellowship, but we had such an... Last year was the first year we did it, and it was such an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That second service, we had a prayer line. Were you in the prayer line there? Discerning of the hearts, people being touched, lives being changed forever. I mean, I remember grabbing a brother, and he was hugging me. He went down to everything that I was thinking of. I didn't tell him, but the Lord discerned it right there and told me. I mean... If you don't think the Lord's real and alive, I am here to testify. Amen. I've seen him work. Amen. I've seen him move in my own life. I've seen him discern my own thoughts and tell me what I was thinking. That brother didn't know what I was thinking. He didn't know what was up on my heart. I was sitting in a meeting one time, and I was under some great pressure, and I was in one of the church meetings. I was going to testify for a few minutes here of the power of the Lord here. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in despair, and I'm at what seemed to be my last rope, and I can't stand it. And I'm like, Lord, I need something. And I was worried about my future, and I'm talking about fear tonight, and I'm talking about worry tonight. But I'm worried about my walk. I'm worried about my life with Christ and all this. And to say that a person that's been serving the Lord for many years can't struggle with that?
Come on.
This was just this year.
Right.
This is just this year.
Amen.
This was just this year.
Right.
I've been serving the Lord for many, many years now.
Right.
Ups and downs and all that. And here I am, and I've had to make decisions. This is spring, and it was a decision I didn't want to make. And I was at the end of my rope, and I didn't know what to do. And Satan's sitting there. He's piloting on me, and he's piloting on me. And Brother Wayne's, he's preaching, Brother Wayne Lawson. And he's done. He goes, wait a minute. I got one more quote. And it was Brother Branham was talking about when he went and he got those parasites in his stomach. And Brother Branham, he threw the papers up in the air and it said, whatever that is called. Paraphrasing. That's the word I need. Just paraphrasing.
Amen.
So he threw those papers in and the Lord said, your future is clear. Something came out, smacked me. I started crying, and I went down to the floor. Oh, boy, man, glory. Oh, that was a life changer for me right then. Oh, man, I still. Glory.
Amen.
If you don't think he's alive and real, you haven't met the God that I know. If you don't think he can work in your life, you haven't met the God that I know. If you think he's dead, he's not dead. If you think he's just waiting for us to do something, he's more than willing to step in when we call upon him. He's more than willing to help you through your struggles. He's more than willing to help you tonight. He's more than willing to do more than you could ever ask for tonight. If you need healing tonight, he's ready to heal you. If you need salvation tonight, he's ready to give you salvation. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the most important thing in our life, he's ready to give it to you. You just haven't asked for it yet. It's that simple. Lord, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then wait on it. Oh, don't say I have to do this. Don't say I have to do that. Ask him for it. Let him change your life. So about last year this time, I'm going to go into preaching now. But about this time last year, about September, I think it was, Lord laid a thought on my heart, and it was kind of turned into a series, and it was... Because I am known, .. Amen. It's open-ended. Yeah. Because he knew me. Right. Not because I knew him. No. But because he knew me from before the foundation of the world. Amen. Everything is available to me.
That's right.
Everything in the Word.
Okay. Amen. I hear that. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read the scriptures from that, and then I've preached several different messages since then under that umbrella. And that's where this one fear, he is a liar. That's what we're going to preach on tonight. All right. But in 1 Corinthians 8:3, it says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Powerful scripture. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Then in 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, for we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known.
Amen.
Rest. That's the key to Christian life. Rest.
Amen.
Getting into a point where you're so secure with yourself and the Lord that you can rest no matter what storms blow in. No matter what trials come your way, no matter what's going on out here in the world, no matter what your job says, no matter what your wife says, no matter what your husband says, no matter what your pastor says, no matter what brother so-and-so over here says, you're in such a place that you're sealed in. And you know because you are known.
Amen.
So I got this thought here. Fear. I hit the wrong button here. Let's go back to this one here. Fear. He is a liar. I was listening to some music one day, and anybody heard the song, Fear, He is a Liar? And I got to listening to that, and it just kind of dawned on me. I never thought about the personification of fear. You know, fear. I always thought the song said, fear is a liar. But the song actually says, fear, he is a liar.
Amen.
So if it's a he, we have something that's coming against us that is not of God. Because remember, fear hath torment, right?
Amen.
And anybody that's made perfect and is in love has no fear. What is love? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And where is Jesus Christ living in? You're a true born-again believer. He's living inside of you, right?
Amen.
So if you have torment, there's a spirit, there's a demon trying to get into your mind. He's trying to get into the way you think. He's trying to get into the way you talk. He's trying to get into all your different lives. And next thing you know, you're walking around and you're a Christian, but your head's down here. And you're walking like this. Woe is me. Oh, it's me. I can't do anything right. You know what? I can't do anything right because there is no good in me.
That's right.
But Jesus Christ. So unless he's living in me, unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he's living through you, guess what? You can't do anything good.
Amen.
And even with it, it's Him doing it through you. It's Him living the life through you, not you and yourself. We just need to stop, and we need to relax, and we need to let Him move in our lives instead of listening to this demon called fear.
Amen.
He'll come up and He'll knock on your door. I wrote down the lyrics of the word because of it. It says, when He told you you're not good enough. How many here has been told they're not good enough? I get told it every day. Satan comes up and he knocks on my mind and he says, you're not good enough. You're not a good Christian today. You're not this. You're not that. Remember what you did last night. Remember you blew up your wife. Remember you blew up your kids. You overdid it here and you overdid it there. Remember, remember, remember. Fear is a liar tonight.
Amen.
He has no place in us at all tonight.
Amen.
He is a liar and he's going to come up to you and he's going to try talking to you. But remember, it is a person that's trying to talk to you. It is a demon that's trying to talk to you. And it is not. And what do we have power to cast out demons.
Amen.
Come on, brothers and sisters. We have power to cast out demons tonight. We have power to tell fear to go. We have power to tell worry to go. We have power to tell depression to go. We have power to tell anxiety to go tonight.
Amen.
They said cancer was a spirit. If cancer was a spirit and we could cast out cancer, we could cast out fear out of our life. Come on, brothers and sisters. It's ours. It's ours. We don't realize who we are because we're listening to the enemy. We're listening to it get us down. We're listening to this world get us down, trying to fear us into all this and COVID this and the Russia's taking over this. And trying to control the masses. How do you control people? Bring them to the fear of bondage.
Amen.
Or the bondage of fear. What's Satan going to do to the Christian? He can't take your soul. He can't take your life unless the Lord tells him that He can. He'll take your joy. He'll make you an ineffective Christian because a sad Christian has no testimony. A sad Christian has no testimony. Let's say that again. A sad Christian has no testimony.
Amen.
A Christian that's always down in the dumps has no testimony.
Right.
Come on. I'd be worried about myself if I was down and I was sad all the time and that's all I put forth.
Yeah.
Do I really have the goods? Is the Lord really living into me tonight?
Amen.
Come on, brothers and sisters. It's a real battle.
Yeah.
We fight it every day.
Yeah.
It's the same battle that they fought through all the ages.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Surely thou should not die. She bit fear into the world. She was afraid. She went. He partook of the fruit. What was it? They were afraid. And what did they do? What did fear drive them to do? Listen to this. Fear will drive you to hide from the Lord. What did He do in the garden? When He introduced the fruit and they both partook of it, fear entered in. And what did they do? They went and hid themselves from the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, can you imagine being the first time you ever experienced fear? Especially fear of an awesome God. It's one thing to be afraid of your parents and their corporal punishment of a belt or something like that. Or having a computer taken away. That's one thing. Oh, but fall under the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
The Almighty God who could judge you.
Right.
The Almighty God who could tell you to go here, go there. Fall under that fear.
Amen.
I mean, we have a reverential fear of Him because we love Him.
Right.
We have a reverential fear of our parents.
Right.
We have a reverential fear of our uncles.
Amen.
We have a reverential fear of our pastors.
Yeah.
But they can't do to us what God can. Pulls the Spirit back from you one time. Remember, He said you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come up here and it'll roost. And all of a sudden, you're not prayed up. You're not looking in the Word. You're not becoming one with your bridegroom.
Right.
Who's your bridegroom? He's the Word.
Right.
You haven't become one with Him.
Right.
Or you've stayed away from Him. And you've been out of that groom, the bridal chamber without Him. And He pulls that spirit away.
Right.
Oh, man. You're going to be out on your own intellectual thoughts. You're going to be your own intellectual thoughts. We're sitting there. I've been there. Where I've walked and I've strayed away And all of a sudden, I find myself wanting. I find myself under dreadful fear. Dreadful fear. But you know what? I let fear for so many years cause me to hide from God. I was still going to church. I was still acting the part. I was still a Christian. But I let fear take over my mind to where when I had opened up the Word, I had certain scriptures I could read. Because it wouldn't bring on that fear.
That's right. Amen.
I had certain quotes I might read. And every time I'd listen to a tape, I'd tense up. Because he might say something about condemnation.
Right.
He might say something about you're going to hell.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't have rest then.
Right.
I didn't know who I was then. I didn't have a full revelation of who I was in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That puts me into rest. That puts me into a place where I can stand strong.
Amen.
That puts me into a place where I will not falter.
Amen.
Puts me in a place where Satan can may blow. He may push. He may shove. He may go this way. He may go that way. He may tell you this. He may put a disease upon you. He may take all your money away from you. He may take all your friends from you. He may take your life from you.
Right.
Whatever it is. But I still have a rest.
Amen.
And I can still stand because I'm in the bride chamber with the groom.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Amen.
I know whom I love.
Amen.
I know my beloved.
Amen.
He says, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough. Anybody heard of this before? This is just a song. Some people say that it's not inspired of the Lord. To put up a good fight. It says you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. How many times have you heard that in your life? You might as well quit. You'll never be a Christian. Oh, you've got this over here. You got that habit over there. You still got this secret sin over here. You still got all this over here. And your dad was this. And your mom was this. And your grandpa, your great-great-grandpa. And you, there's no way you can overcome all that. But I know the overcomer, Jesus Christ. And he's living inside of me.
Amen.
Satan. Fear, you got to go. You got to go. Thus saith the Lord, I am known. I was always his. I'm always his. Always his. From before the foundation of the world, I had nothing to do with it. There's nothing I could do about it. I had to come this way. I had to. My steps were ordered. The footsteps of a righteous man are ordered. They're ordered, brothers and sisters. I had nothing to do with it. I would be out in the world smoking, drinking, whatever else, carousing with women, whatever it was. I'd be there going around probably wearing 12 masks and worried about this, that, and trying to bring in a new world order so we could have some kind of a peace and all that. But no, I'm bringing in a new world order. It's the order of Jesus Christ. It's the order of the world. That's what it is. That's what I want. It's no longer fear. Fear no longer has me bound. Worry no longer has me bound. Anxiety no longer has me bound. Depression no longer has me bound. Sickness no longer has me bound. Woo! Come on, brothers and sisters. It's time that we recognize who we are. It's time that we stand up and we fight. Oh, we just can't go down and, oh, I'm sorry, Satan. I didn't mean that, Satan. Oh, I'm sorry I read that today. I'm sorry I spoke up a little loud in church. I'm sorry I danced in the church tonight. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm happy. Yeah. Woo!
Amen. Amen.
I ain't sorry about anything the Word done for me. He'll try to get you to be sorry about it. He'll try to tell you you're wrong.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
I get to my breath now. Fat guy. Dancing around. Satan thought he had me with fatness. He thought he had me with my weight. You know what? I'm losing weight. I'm smaller than I was a month ago. He thought he would get me. You know, I spent many $1,000 because of fear. Going to an ER because I thought I was having a heart attack. Going to an ER. I spent thousands. You know what it was? It was anxiety and fear. Every time I went, heart's good. No blockages. But you know that fear comes on you. And in that moment, you don't think right.
No, no, you don't.
In that moment, you let Satan overcome you.
That's right.
With fear,
yeah,
with anxiety. Have I had him try to do it again? Oh, yeah. But you know what? I recognize it now.
Right.
I recognize the tactics of Satan. I recognize, so I can just say, not today, Satan.
Right, right.
Guess what, Satan? Even if I have a heart attack and I die tonight, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I've got a theophany awaiting me. I'm just going to step into that, and I'm going to rejoice even louder.
Amen.
I won't get tired of rejoicing. I won't get out of breath. Brother and sister.
Amen.
The unpardonable sin, he says, think of it. No fear. That's the greatest plague there is in Christian church today. Is afraid. And the reason they're afraid is because they're not taught right.
That's right.
And settled right on the gospel. You get in there and you get taught a bunch of do this and do that. Not saying we shouldn't do this and do that. But when we base our salvation and we base our rest upon our works, Satan has a right to bring fear in. Because all of a sudden it's man-made. It's not God-made. It becomes a man-made work. Think of it. No fear. That's the greatest plague there is in the Christian church today, is afraid.
That's right.
And the reason they're afraid is because they're not taught right and settled right on the gospel.
That's right.
You got to come to a place where you settle it.
Yeah.
You come to a place where you've been to the back room.
Wow.
You've been down on your knees. You've been to the desert. You've been there with the Lord. And you die out to yourself. Right. You don't go to the back side of the desert and say, Lord, do whatever you want, but I want to keep this over here. I want to keep this piece of property over there. I want to keep this piece of property over there. I want to keep this thought over here. I want to keep this pet doctrine over here. I want to keep this pet peeve over here. I still want to stay in this denomination over here. But he said, still out. Come unto me. I will give you rest. We can't produce rest, brothers and sisters. I've tried. I think I'm going to do this right, and I'm going to do that right. I'm going to get my life in order. I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to talk this way. I'm going to read 12 times a day. I'm going to read backwards, forwards, upside down, everything. Open up 1,000 message books, listen to 100 tapes a day, and I'll be fine. Then I mess up. It doesn't hold. I have to have that backroom experience.
That's right.
That back desert experience. Amen. Where it's just me and him. And he comes in and he fills me with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So don't fear. This is testifying of his gifts in 52. It says, don't fear. Fear is the devil. Everything Jesus would say, fear not. Did you ever hear Jesus say, when you go out here and he sent the disciples out and you go to this land and you talk, fear the people when you come to the land? No, he said if they rejected, kick the dust off your feet. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He never told them to go in there and fear what they'll do. They may come at you with machetes. They may come at you with knives. They may come out and beat you. Here's you something to think about. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right?
Right.
Sweated great drops of blood, prayed and all that. But you know the Spirit left him there? And you know he walked from there to Golgotha without the anointing on him? Without the Spirit on him?
Right.
Without fear?
Amen.
Doing the Father's will. How much more should we not fear when we're anointed? When we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit sitting on us? Oh, we give the devil too much credit. Oh, man, can you imagine down that day when he's standing in judgment and this little guy about like that tall walks up. His legs and arms are about the size of my glasses here. And he's, mercy. You know he's going to be trembling. And he's going to look out and he's going to see us, the judge. He's going to see us. And he's going to say, I remember when I made Brother Alex do that or think that. I remember when Brother Dwayne, when I caused him to do that. I remember when I played Brother Jerry with this. I remember. And all of a sudden, he had all those thoughts and he's going to be. But when we walk, we have a body change and we're standing there. With the judge judging in his throne. There ain't going to be no fear there on our part. Because we had a relationship with him here on earth. Because we didn't reject him here on earth. Because we wholeheartedly accepted him. Because we entered into the bridegroom's chamber. And we went and we consummated that marriage. You know, we can accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're engaged to him and all that. That's good. And that's part of the marriage rituals. But you know what? We have to go into the bridegroom chamber. And we have to consummate. So it brings forth life. What does a man and wife do? They consummate the marriage to bring forth life. To become one with him. A lot of people, they only come up to engagement. And they say, well, we'll get married later. I'll do this later. Some tragic accident happens. Or this one, part of the relationship, their eye gets caught over here. You're walking down the road and you're only in engagement. And you hear a big party over here. And those old thoughts and those old feelings, they start to come back because you're still walking in the flesh. You don't have some, you don't have the keeper on the inside. You haven't went into the bright. You haven't went in and consummated your relationship and fulfilled your marriage vows. You haven't taken on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you're just walking out here. How many couples today, they get engaged and they go and, oh, we'll get married in 5 years from now. I didn't want to get involved. I got engaged. I went. I think I had one solid week in person of courtship. My wife from overseas. We had phone conversations, but in person over there in Scotland, asked her to marry me. We were married 2 months later. Part of that was we had to get legally married to start paperwork. But I wasn't waiting. I wanted to bring her home. I had to leave her back there. Oh, I don't want to leave Jesus Christ back here. I want to go into that bride chamber with him. That bridegroom chamber. I want to go into that secret place. I want to sit at his feet. I want to hear him whisper sweet love words into my ears. I want to feel him cuddle me into his arms and hold me and stroke my head and tell me everything's going to be all right. He's going to hold me tight. He's going to say, there's nothing that can touch you now. There's nothing that, you know, when I got married, everything that I had, my wife inherited.
That's right. That's right.
My car all of a sudden became her car. My house all of a sudden became her house. My checkbook and my checking account all of a sudden became her checking account. All of a sudden, I couldn't just make decisions on my own. You know, he'll ask us what we think about things. What do you think about going over here with me? What do you think about moving to this church over here with me? He won't force you. You can walk in engagement your entire Christian walk, never get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and go to hell. Or, at best, become a foolish virgin. Foolish enough that you didn't go all the way. You had to go through trials. You had to go through the tribulation just so you could go that way. Oh, no, I wanted, when I married Sonia, I wanted her at home. I missed her. We were on, I was back before these unlimited plan things. I could have saved a whole lot of money back then. I remember I had a 2,100-minute plan at one point. And then I had to buy a long-distance card. To use those 2,100-minute plans. There wasn't nothing getting between us. What's getting between you tonight and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you waiting for tonight? He's calling. He says, come in. Come all the way. That's what he's saying tonight. And you're out here and you're listening to the things of the world and you hear the news and this person, the COVID rate's going up over here and and monkeypox is going up over here, and this is going over here, and Biden's trying to do this, and such is trying to do that, and they're trying to eliminate Christianity and all that, but you know what? That doesn't affect me. I could care less about what happens to this world. I mean, it's like a two-edged sword in a way. I love the fact that we're here. I love my life. But I have something much better waiting for me. And whatever happens here, I'll never remember it anyway, but the good stuff. I won't remember that they legalized homosexual marriage. I won't remember what happened to Donald Trump or this president over here or that president over there. It won't mean nothing to me. It doesn't mean nothing to me anymore. You know, I used to get really into politics. And I would get into it, and I made a comment one time, and it offended a sister overseas. A very good friend of mine, Sonia's parents. And you know what? Something died in me that day. I said, it ain't worth it. I'm fighting to preserve something that's dying anyways. It's already been judged. It already has judgment upon it. It's already setting in. Well, I mean, why do we care about this world? Let's make everything count for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And if you're walking around here in fear, you're paying too much attention to this world. You're not paying enough attention to your bridegroom. You pay enough attention to your bridegroom, the fear of tomorrow is going to go out the door. The fear of this is going to go out the door. And now he's going to try to bring it up on you. But you stand here with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have a right to say, not today, Satan. Not today. I'm going all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm entering in with him tonight. I have no fears because my future is free. My future is clear. My future has already been determined. Your future has already been determined. And there's nothing that you can do about it. There's nothing that Satan can do about it. All hell may break loose against you. Every demon, he may train every single demon on you, Jeremiah. But there's nothing, nothing that Satan can do to you unless the Lord allows it. So why do I have to fear? Because even if the Lord allows it, it's going to be for my good. I may have something over here that he needs to shave off to get me ready for that theophany, that glorified body. Some kind of character I need for over on the other side. Some kind of character I need to bring somebody else into the Lord. Some experience I need to go through because I'll understand what my brother's going through. But I'll understand what my sister's going through. Why should I fear? Why should I worry? If I was a singer, I'd sing the song. That's the one thing in the islands I didn't get. My dad can sing. Uncle Jerry can sing. Jeremiah. Grandpa Don. He'd play it. Sing it. Throw everything he had in it. There's no need. The Christian people seem to be back in the corner. Think about that. How many times is it that the Christian people seem like they're backed into a corner? And they seem lost. And they seem like they're wandering. They're afraid of what tomorrow brings. He says, oh, they seem to be back in the corner. I'm afraid. What are you afraid about? Why, you ought to be the most freest people in the world. Why should we be the freest people in the world? Because our future is determined. We have a hope beyond this world. Amen. If all this world was that I had hope in, guess what? I'd be a man most miserable. Amen. And you know, it's human nature. Because you know the outer two realms aren't born again. So he can attack those. He can get them to start to thinking this way or that way. So when they come, when the fears try to come, don't think it a strange thing. Think it a strange thing if he doesn't try to bring fear unto you. Then you got to wonder, what am I doing wrong? Why is he leaving me alone? Why hasn't Satan been bombarding my mind lately? Why hasn't he been doing this? I know I'm not living that good a life. I mean, I still got these two outer realms I'm dealing with. So I know I'm not doing living a perfect life. So why isn't he coming in? What am I doing wrong? That's when you get afraid. There's some real fear right there. We ought to be the freest, happiest people. So many years of my life I lived under condemnation. So many years of my life I lived with the fear that I was going to die and go to hell the next day. It was bondage.
That's right.
I had fallen into the bondage of the demonic kingdom.
Amen.
The demon of fear, of worry, of doubt. You know what? I had to face that fear. A lot of times we want to run from that fear. Oh man. I'll read Psalm 27 today, the first three verses. I'll read that. Something just to placate your mind. Instead of going to the root of it.
All right, amen.
What's driving that fear? Are you afraid of this passage? I used to be afraid of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. He that sinneth willfully. Hebrews chapter 6, 5 and 6. And you know, it always seemed like every time you pick up a tape when you're dealing with this, that scripture was in that. That verse was in that. And then when you think you're long past it, all of a sudden you pick up something else. Well, he's talking about you now. He's talking about you now. But you know, down inside, there's a rest.
Amen.
But I remember when I was really, really in the thick of this. I even preached a sermon on it called Who I Am. And I was in the thick of this. And I was trying to make, I was making my way through the messages, and I was coming up to, I was in the Hebrew series. The next tape was Hebrews 6, 7. I'm like, and I'm like, so I thought I hit it, and I hit Hebrews chapter 7. Skipped over. I'm like, I got another week or another day. I go to Columbus on Thursdays, and I'm in a room by myself. I listen to tapes and working on equipment, and then I got to drive and all that. I remember leaving that, and I was like, whew, literally thinking, man, I don't have to face that today. The Lord's had other plans. The Lord said, no, you're facing that. I remember driving out there, and I'm almost nervous because I'm not listening to it. I drive and I stop to get gas. I said, Lord, I'm going to have to listen to this. I'm going to have to, or the fear is going to double.
That's right.
It's going to triple.
Amen.
So I'm like, I'm going to have to listen to this. You know, I listened to that, and it was one of my most favorite tapes of all time.
Amen.
It brought me deliverance when I faced my fear. You might be sitting here fearing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. Not to be afraid of, but well, I'm going to have to do this. He didn't say you had to do it.
That's right.
He said, surrender yourself to me, and I will do it through
you.
Right. I'll have to leave this friend. I'll have to leave that. Don't worry about that.
That's right.
Let the Lord guide you.
That's right, man.
You're just bringing in fear upon a fear upon a fear, and you could be holding back tonight.
Amen.
From perfection in your life, from rest in your life, from being able to help your friends come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to a revelation of who He is.
Amen.
Because you're afraid to face that fear. If I was sitting here tonight and I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I would do everything I had within me to get it.
Amen.
Tonight. You ought to be the most freest people in the world. Of course it hung up on me. So we ought to be the most freest, happiest people in the world. He told you you're not worthy. When he told you you're not loved. When he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. That doesn't sound like God. He's never negative.
No.
He's always positive.
Amen.
Fear, he is a liar. He'll take your breath. He'll stop you in your steps. He'll stop your walk. The demon of fear. He'll stop your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you overcome it, guess what? You can't go on with the Lord. Because fear will keep you from perfect love.
Amen.
But you know what? Perfect love will cast out that fear.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So we enter into the Lord Jesus Christ, which is perfect love.
Amen. That's right.
He'll stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He'll rob you your rest. I mean, what else can Satan do to us? Keep us from resting. Keep us from enjoying our honeymoon with the Lord. Keep us from enjoying the fruits of the Bible. Keep us from enjoying fruits in our life to see it go on to our next generations and to our next generation. You know, kids that are raised up in houses that aren't at rest, guess what? The kids aren't at rest. They won't be at rest. They can't be at rest. Because all they're modeled before them is unrest.
Amen.
And if the parents are at unrest, guess what? The kids are going to be at unrest. And we're going to be blaming our kids for what is a trait from us because we're not resting into what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we wonder why they don't come into the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Do you want to be the one that causes your children not to come to the Lord Jesus Christ at a fruitful age? A young age, and they have to go out and get scarred by this world and come back around and finally realize what mom and dad were trying to say.
Right. Amen. Right.
What mom and dad were trying to live or said they lived. Or it's a lot easier to train them than it is to untrain them.
That's true.
You let a habit go in your house and you did it, and it magnifies in your children.
Amen.
And when you go to correct it, I've wanted to correct my kids, and why am I trying to correct something that I actually do?
Right. Amen.
Maybe I need to correct myself.
Right.
Then they'll correct.
Amen.
Well, why am I trying to tell them that they're wrong and doing something when I've allowed it so many years?
Amen.
Whatever it is.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
A lot of times it's all out of fear. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Right. So, we don't have to worry about being alone.
Amen.
Yeah, we're troubled on every side. But that's the outside world.
Amen.
But inside,
yeah,
we're not troubled.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
But he'll tell you you're troubled. He'll try to make you think the exterior components of this world is your trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The storms that are battering you, the thoughts that come at you, say you're troubled. No, oh, that's not my trouble.
Amen.
I didn't do that.
Amen.
That's you bringing those troubles in.
Amen.
I have a right to cast you out, Saint. Be thou cast out.
Amen.
Like you went up to the man of Gadarene, the Gadarenes, and the man that had legion in him.
Yeah.
Guy was troubled, but it wasn't him. When he cast him out, the guy was perfectly peaceful.
Amen.
It was the right. Demons that were in him. Cast the demon out. If you're troubled, just cast the demon out of him.
Right.
How do you do it? You use the word of God.
Amen.
If you're sick tonight, you say, by his stripes,
right.
I already am healed. Not a hope so.
Amen.
Not a maybe so. Not a I made it up so. Not a didn't that applied to back then when it was written. No. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So every bit from the cover to cover, every promise is mine.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line.
You were going to sing Father Abraham, you said. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had. Well, you should be joyful. I mean, that's good.
Amen.
I like that old children's song. Back when we had, we were locked out of the church and we were doing online, our song leader, Brother Brian, he would do kids' songs at the beginning just for the kids.
Amen.
That way they were involved at home. It was good.
Amen.
I bet all the parents joined in almost.
That's right.
Sang right along with them, did the actions. I mean, if we're sitting in church, we'll do the actions and all that. Get thee behind, Satan. God is good. He's so good. I have no idea what time I started, so. God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Now, unbelief can do nothing but damn you. That's all it can do is destroy you. And faith is the only thing that can help you. See, so faith, unbelief, there's no value in unbelief at all. None. It's not worth, you doubt the word any way, shape, or form. It doesn't do you anything but bring compromise into your life, bring fear into your life, bring worry into your life, bring anxiety into your life. Unbelief. There's no value in unbelief at all. And unbelief accompanies fear.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You start doubting the word, you start doubting the promises, and you start fearing, guess what? Unbelief's at your door. You'll start doubting your experience. You'll start doubting whether the message is real. You'll start doubting whether Brother Branham was a prophet. You'll start doubting whether God is real. You'll start doubting whether Jesus Christ loves you. You'll start doubting this. You'll start doubting that. Fear accompanies unbelief. Unbelief accompanies fear. And when you go to reasoning and wondering, then you begin to fear. When you go to saying, I wonder if that promise was for me. I wonder if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me. I wonder if I should go to the altar. I wonder if I should give my life to the Lord. And you start reasoning all the reasons why it's not for you, all the reasons why it's embarrassing to raise your hand, or it's embarrassing to dance, it's embarrassing to do whatever the Lord leads you to do. And it's embarrassing to come to the altar and pray. It's embarrassing to come up and ask for prayer. No, you can stay in your sickness all you want. If you want prayer, we'll pray for you. But if you want to stand in unbelief, sitting back here saying it's not for me, then you're going to have to sit back here and say it's not for you, and you're going to die in your sin.
That's right.
You're going to die in your cancer. You're going to die in your fear.
Amen.
And you'll never have rest on this side.
Uh-uh. Come on.
It's a little warm. And again, in God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. Now all the fear, lady sitting back, sitting here sick. I guess she has a pillow laying by her. Now she's sick. She's probably come to hear the word and maybe be healed. Now all the fear you would have, sister, would do you no good at all. I might fear cancer. I might fear this and fear being lost and all that, but it doesn't do me any good.
No.
I can focus on that fear all night long, and I won't get anywhere, any one step further.
Right.
So I'll start walking backwards.
Amen.
I'll start getting deeper into it, and the cancer will take on, and it'll grow even bigger and bigger and bigger.
Sure.
The cancer of unbelief in my life will start growing bigger and bigger and bigger.
Amen.
Until next thing you know, I'm not a Christian.
Amen.
Now, all the fear you have, sister, would do you no good at all. Fear has not one value to it, so it's simple. Are you ready for a major revelation here?
Amen.
I mean, it's hard. So, discard it.
Amen.
Where's that trash can?
Amen.
I ain't keeping that old nasty sweat rag with me anymore, fear.
Right.
I'm not going to keep that old nasty whatever. I'm not going to keep that old rotten laying piece of meat of fear in there and unbelief. It's no longer a part of me. It's no longer a part of my life anymore. Fear has no hold on me. And you have the ability now to tell it to go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fear does not have to stay in your life. If you're sick tonight, that sickness does not have to stay in your life. If you're afraid of it, it'll stay. But you have to cast that fear out tonight.
Amen.
You have to walk over top of it. You have to stomp it under your feet. You say, Satan, no more.
Right.
No more in my life. I will not listen to you from this day forth. You are a liar. Fear, he is a liar. Fear, he is a liar. He has no part of us. We don't have to listen to him anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And I'm stomping him under my feet tonight.
Amen.
Oh, he's tried to come back so many times, but I keep stomping on him. I keep stomping on him, Brother Eric. I keep stomping on him. Brother, I keep stomping on him. You can stomp on him tonight. If you need the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on go. If you need healing in your life, go. Tonight, get it now.
Amen.
Get it now. Why the Lord's stirring, get it now.
That's right.
I don't have to listen to Satan anymore in my life. I've been born again.
Yeah.
I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
No matter how many times he tries to tell me I haven't, I have. There's been a change in my life. He's done something real to me.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Oh, if you don't have rest tonight, brothers and sisters, get it.
Yes.
It's worth every moment of it.
Amen.
It's worth every sacrifice that we think we have to sacrifice.
Amen. Yes,
get it tonight.
Amen.
It's your meat.
Yes.
Spiritual food in due season.
Amen.
Get it tonight. Don't wait another moment. I walked, like I said, many years. I walked 10, 15 years in unrest. And doubting who I was. And fear. Wandering in a desert. Not knowing that the help was right there. And all I had to do was let him have it. All I had to do was face that fear and say, Satan, under my feet.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, this is your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer, you answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not my problem anymore.
That's right.
High blood pressure, you're not my problem anymore. You have to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a covenant over my body. He's covenanted with me. He's my peace. He's my salvation. He's my healer. He's my all in all. Hallelujah. He is my all in all. Closing quote. You must be born again. What do we fear about? We should be the freest and happiest people there is anywhere.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But I see too many people that aren't happy. I see too many people that are bound. All because they won't let it go.
Amen.
They won't release it unto their Heavenly Father. They won't release it unto their bridegroom. Oh, Sonia's got a problem. I'll hear about it. And it'll be in me. I'll be expected to take care of it.
That's right.
Whether I want to take care of it or not.
Right.
I'll be expected to take care of it.
Amen.
Brother Moore, if Sister Clarice has a problem, do you just walk away? She let you know about it. And you'll take care of it. You'll do everything you can, and if you have to go out and work 20 jobs to do it, you do it. Sister Lisa has no worries. My wife has no worries. But she's, our wives are reaching out to their bridegroom, and they're putting all their strength and all their rest on. They marry us. They married us. They thought they were marrying Superman. They got us confused with the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess we walk that close to him.
point being, we have a Heavenly Father who's greater than natural husbands.
That's right.
That we can release all our fears on. We can release all our trials on. We can release the state of this world upon. We can release all that because He knows our future. Let's stand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So fear is no good at all. Let's discard it all, this thing altogether.
Amen.
And let's have faith and believe God. So it's by faith we know God, not by knowledge.
Amen.
We can know all the knowledge in the world. You know what? It won't help us. It becomes a revelation.
Yeah.
And we release all our fears and all our worries into Him. But when you stand under the divine promise of God, there's no fear in God. I can't find a quote, but I remember kind of paraphrase it where somebody was telling Brother Branham, said they were all worried and all that, and they were like, it may not even been somebody, it may have just been general, but he's going, basically he said, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, but when I get in the millennium, he goes, I don't want to wait till the millennium to get joy. I don't want to wait till the millennium to get victory. I don't want to wait till the millennium. We don't have joy now.
Amen.
This is where we need it.
Right.
So we can build the right character in our lives. If any of you have need tonight of joy or of rest in your life, let's make it known unto Him. If anybody would like prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you. We'll stay here all night if we had to. Sorry, Brother Alex. I'm the one that's got to be up at a certain time. Hey, we've stayed up tonight late doing that kind of thing. But anyways, let's approach our Heavenly Father here. Our gracious Lord, we just love You and we praise You, Father. Lord, how many times do we bow to the demon of fear, Father? How many times do we stand and let Satan just riddle our minds with fear, Lord Jesus, and with doubt and with worries, and here we are, we're confessing Christians and all that. And Lord, sometimes we get short-sighted and we forget who we are, Father. Sometimes we forget that we are the blood-bought purchase of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and every single privilege that Christ has, we have. We become one with our bridegroom. Oh, Lord, make it such alive and so real to us tonight, Father. And Lord, if there be any here tonight, Father, Lord, should they need encouragement, Lord, should they need to cast fear out, should they need healing, Father, Lord, if they haven't made a complete confession and complete surrender to You, Lord, may tonight be the night, Father. Lord, may not one of us walk out of here tonight, but Lord, knowing that fear is under our feet, that worry is under our feet, that depression is under our feet, that anxiety is under our feet, that doubts are under our feet, that fear is under our feet, that cancer is under our feet, whatever it be in our lives, Father, it's under our feet because we are the bride of Christ. And it is our privilege to put it under our feet, and it is our privilege to cast it upon Your shoulders, Lord Jesus. Lord, just ask that You just come. Bless the word, Father. May it be fruitful, Lord. But just commit this night in Your hands, Father God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man, the Lord good.
Yes, He is.
Oh, I love Him so much. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to Your name.
Thank You, Lord.
Didn't I tell you it was my honor and your privilege?
Amen.
Don't you like God's bouquet?
Yes,
my goodness. Wow. Didn't fear tonight just almost shrink to nothing? Man. Almost said I was about scared to think about it, but I'm not. Yeah, fear. Thank You, brother, for that. Yeah. Yeah, my last text to him. Yes. Yeah, when he agreed to come out here and preach tonight, I text the last text with, "You're awesome." You're awesome, you know.
Amen.
Thinking, boy, you got me out of another preaching night. I tell you. Listen, I keep putting you off. I know I do, but I do have something ready, and it's going to be really good. And because when something simmers, you guys told me, yeah, Brother Kobe's just simmering, you know. But something that simmers for a while, it ends up really, really good. And, no, the Lord willing, you guys bring all your friends and neighbors and family and everybody you can that needs a touch from God or just wants to grow a little bit. Not this coming Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night. And again, I'm going to simmer just a little, couple more weeks. But the Lord willing, I've almost got an okay from a preacher there in Lima. And it would be worth anybody's while to come and hear this man preach. And I'm not trying to up the man, but sometimes people have gifts. And, you know, you put me on a piano and you're like, you know, but you put somebody else on a piano and you're like, yeah, I'll go buy tickets for him, you know. But anyway, you can just tell how much time people spend with God, the way that they preach and the way that they talk about the one that they love the most. So what a privilege just to hear that. Wow. You know, no place I'd rather be than around God's word. And then around his people. Amen. Because if you're around God's word, guess what? You're going to be around his people. Because they're going to be around the word. So you musicians, come on up. And I'll do what Brother Mike can't do. We'll sing just a little bit. Boy, you know what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I think God, he just hears the spirit of the person when they're singing. You know? Lord knows. Boy, there went half the church. Right there, right there. I like that.
Amen. I would like prayer tonight. Amen. I'm not afraid of anything, you know, and I try to give my rest to all my friends and family, but I got some people that's got some needs. Amen. And I want to stand in for them tonight. Yes. And I want to take all that fear because God can do that. You know, it's they know me, and he'll take it away. I want them to have that peace that I have now. Amen. And then we'll have to wait.
Amen. Listen, peace, you know, it passes, you know, all of understanding. Amen. And we're sitting here trying to figure out why we're afraid. We don't have to. It passes all understanding. And boy, what...
Yeah. You talk about those part-time benefits or full-time benefits. I want to give that to my loved ones. Amen. I want, and God can do that. They don't have to believe this message. They don't have to come to this church, but they can know me. Amen. And get that peace. Yeah. Amen.
If Brother Branham was here tonight, he wouldn't be pointing to this message. He'd be pointing to Jesus Christ. He'd be pointing to Jesus Christ. No, this message, it's just an extra. Mm-hmm. It's just extra. The Word of God's the real love letter, but this message is... it's the icing on the cake. Amen. It's what gets Amen. Us out of here. It's what clears up yeah. the original word. Yeah, that's right. And we're the, you know, we're heading up. Amen. We're not heading down. We're heading up. Amen. And yeah, I'm not even, it feels good tonight to hear a reassurance, Amen. A reassurance. Amen. So brothers, let's pray. I bet you everybody in here tonight could stand right here where this sister's standing. Yeah. I know I could too, Brother Mike.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, such a noble request, Father God. Lord, having loved ones, Father God, that she loves, Father, that she wants to see to come to some sort of knowledge and peace of you, Father God. Lord, let's pray that you would honor our sister Renee's request, Father God, as she stands here as proxy, Father. Lord, that you would just go to wherever these loved ones are right now, Father God. And Lord, you would start stirring their hearts, Father God. Lord, that you would start working in their lives, Father God. Lord, they may not understand it right now, Father. But Lord, they will know, Father, that something strange is going on. And they'll know that it's you, Father God. Lord, just move, Father, where they're at, Father God. Lord, stir their hearts, Lord. Lord, bring them to a knowledge of you and to the peace of you, Father God. Lord, we commit it in your hands, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. Yes. Anyone else need a prayer? All right. Yes. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Standing in the need of prayer. There's a lot of things in this world you don't need, but prayer is one of them that you do need. You really do need it. Yes. Are you a pilgrim and a stranger? Yes, page 174. Let's just worship just a little bit. Do you got time tonight? All right, let's just worship. Yes. All right, I can't wait to be a saint marching in. I just can't wait. A pilgrim and a stranger. Give me a key that I sound good in. Yes. We're going to find out. That's fine. I guess that'll work.
Well, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger.
Dedicate one song to Brother Mike, and this will be it for tonight, but if I could just hear Brother Mike singing this. And I can be watching him all week, and I know he'd probably be singing this by himself. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, devil, you may sit and criticize, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, devil, you may sit and criticize, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, devil, you may sit and criticize, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I saw Brother Mike the other day, and he was praising the Lord. Well, I saw Brother Jerry the other day, and he was praising the Lord. Well, I saw Brother Nate the other day, and he was praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I saw Sister Melanie the other day, and she was praising the Lord. Well, I saw Brother Dwayne the other day, and he was praising the Lord. Well, I saw Brother Alex
the other day, and he came praising the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord.
Well, I don't know.
Preached. Amen. I'd never got to hear him preach before. So this is my first time, and he hit it out the ballpark. That was a home run. Amen. You know, it's good to be able to put fear where it belongs. Because the devil wants to see that the only thing he's got on believers is your lack of understanding of the word. Because he can't take your soul. So he tries to play games with your house. And he uses fear to do that. You fear everything. You fear your salvation. You fear you're not good enough. You fear you're not close enough. You fear, 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 fear. But my Bible tells me perfect love. Amen. Cast all fears. And he said, cast your cares upon me. Because
right.
He cares for you. He right. wants to take right. care of you. He right. wants to take care of all you. So we don't need to walk around here fearing anything. Amen. Don't fear what this world put on you or what the devil throws at you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
We should be the happiest people there are on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Oh, we get down in our house, but we don't stay down. We have problems, but we don't keep problems. We get solutions. You know, and where everybody else still wondering how to fix it, we get to fix it and move on. We had troubles. We get down. We get depressed. But you know what? The moment we realize we're down and depressed, we're like, wait a minute. I'm a son of God. That sickness, that disease, I like he named that fear. It's a demon. That demon has no place on, not even in. He can't get in me. He has no place on me. So you cast him out. Amen. That is good. I enjoyed that. I really did. Now, just a reminder, sign up. Y'all are going to South Carolina. I ain't playing, y'all. That's 55 seats, including women and children. We're not doing like the Bible, just count the men. This is counting the women and children, too. So, y'all get signed up out there and get ready to go to Carolina. Brother Fred told me, he said, he told us, church, that we were coming, and they are excited. There's some brothers. Somebody's coming up. Because I told him y'all don't know it, but we're chartering a bus. Y'all ain't even going to have to drive. We're leaving the driving to them. So all we're going to do is fellowship from here to Carolina and back. So now you won't put your name on that list. But we'll keep giving you more information as we go. But Brother Fred, I told him we're going to bring a bus. And he said, oh, I already told the brother from Florida you were renting vans. He said, I'm going to call him back and tell you you're getting a bus. Because this brother's bringing his church from Florida. He said, they're going to have a few days meeting, so we're going to go in there. We'll leave here Saturday, 6 a.m. here Saturday morning, and we'll get down to South Carolina on about 4. About 4. we might put food on the bus. We bathroom on the bus, so we're going to get down there by 4. There'll be service that evening. And then we'll go to services that evening. I think he said I'll preach on Saturday night. He said, I don't know. He said he's going to have all kinds of different people coming in Saturday night. And then we'll be there. I told him we'll be there Sunday morning, too. So he's going to have some preachers come in for Sunday morning. And we'll stay for Sunday morning service. And by 2 o'clock, we're back on the bus again and get home by before midnight. Really? Before midnight? I might can go to work Monday. I'm taking Monday off, but... I might be a little tired, but that's the plan, people. This is gonna be a trip of a lifetime. I mean, it's so you get yourself together and get your time off work and get yourself set up to go, and we'll just have a good old time together.
If anybody does need to work Monday, the bus does have reclining.
You can't sleep. You can you might be able to. You have your noisy brothers and sisters around you. They ain't gonna let you. So this is coming up. So I'm excited about it now. The more we talk about it, the more it's like it's going to be a good trip. So make plans. Get your name on the board back there. There will be some cost for you. You know, if we stop and eat, I think we're going to let you, if we stop. The hotel. So you'll pay for your hotel and you'll pay for whatever food you stop and eat. If we stop at a Wendy's or something on the way down or whatever. But we'll work out the details. Just start saving your pennies and get your name on the board. And not even in that order. Sunday night, the sign up comes down.
Okay.
I'm not going to. It's coming down, I'm telling y'all. I ain't playing, y'all. Because we've invested time and money and energy now. So now it's time to put up or shut up.
All right.
So let's just keep that in mind. We want to announce. Okay, we'll figure out the details as we get going. We got a little time for that, but we just want you to start getting your mindset ready because we're going.
Amen.
You're not busy, come on, go with us. Get your name on that board. Amen. If you're not 56, if you're not number 56, you can go. Amen. So it's good. I'm looking forward to it. And so keep these things in mind. Now, this is Wednesday, so... we're going to come back on Sunday morning and have another good service.
Yes, amen.
Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Don't worry about the world order. Don't worry about all the fear of this world. And I love that song that you're talking about. I've heard that song. I got the song, the words and everything. I was going to sing it. I was like, I just haven't never got to there yet. But I got it. That's a good song. Fear, you had no place here. Not welcome at all, period. So, amen. But we're going to hold to God. We're going to hold to His unchanging hand. Brother Jerry Allen, you're going to come back where you can say a little more. You can be quiet tonight over there. It's good to have you here. Always good to have you here.
Amen.
It's good to be quiet sometime. I'm still learning. It's good to have him here. I never like to overlook Brother Jerry Allen because he's a precious brother. And he does a lot of things. Y'all don't know. He's a good woodworker. He's done some stuff for us here that we've got haven't put in yet. We've got stuff from him, and we thank God for him. And so do come back when you can stay longer. Amen. Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth, but who can stand? Oh, to be something eternal. Let us hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, let us hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, we will be all our hopes eternal.
Turn.